I had a Old Testament Hebrew professor by the name of Dr. T.B. Ferris, and he wrote one book of his life. The man was, I don't know, very gifted. He spoke several languages, was a missionary in China, and just had an outstanding grip on the Old Testament, just phenomenal grip on the Old Testament. Probably one of the most learned men I've ever met in my life. He wrote one book, and the title of that book is from Isaiah, Mighty to Save. And he is mighty to save. That's the message that the church, that's the message of the Old Testament, and that's the message of the New Testament. He is mighty to save. I'm glad you're here this morning. I appreciate all of our visitors being among us today, and hope you feel welcome here at Victory Church. And I hope that you see here that we're just a people that's transparent, that love the Lord, love His cause, love His word, love His ways, and are trying our level best to serve Him and worship Him the best way we know how. We want to go to God in prayer, and we want to pray for this service. And we've had a number of situations that have been mentioned, and you know, we constantly are in need of prayer around here. We have a fairly large church, and there are a lot of different needs and problems that people are facing, and we want to pray for those situations that arise among us. And we want to pray for this service and pray for the effectiveness of God's holy word. Took our place. And either He bears your sins, or you stand accountable for your sins at judgment. The only way to be ready is to be right with God. And there's only one way to be right with God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is through His name, through the name of Jesus, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. It's through the name of Jesus that people can be saved. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. You must be saved through Jesus Christ. You must have a believing application of the blood of Jesus upon your soul. You can know when that happens. You can know that you're one of the elect. You need to make your calling and your election sure. You need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're a child of God. We can know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. There's evidence of that. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, wherein we have access unto this grace, wherein we stand and we rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. And we not only rejoice in tribulation, but tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope makes us not ashamed, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Amen? That's Bible stuff, man. Pure and simple. Justified in the sight of God by faith in Jesus Christ. You cannot be justified in the sight of God by works. We're not saved by any works of righteousness which we have done. Titus chapter 3. We are not saved by any works of righteousness which we have done, but we are saved by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's how we're saved. By grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I'm thankful that God does the saving. I'm thankful that men do not save us, but the Lord Jesus Christ alone saves us. We're saved by His blood and His shed blood alone. There's a lot of folks trying to get to heaven by human achievement. You don't get saved by human achievement. Going to church, being baptized, being a church member, or trying to live just a good moral life isn't good enough. You have to have a heart transplant. Amen? In Colossians it tells us that faith is the alteration or the operation of the heart. When you put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, He takes away the stony heart and puts in your heart a heart of flesh, like we read in Hebrews chapter 10, where you become under the new covenant, where you know the Lord because something has taken place deep down in your soul. Listen, children, if you've never had an experience and a work of grace in your life, you need one. And I'll say this, there are a lot of folks that have deceived themselves, or they've been deceived by others, and they've been told they're all right, or they thought they were all right, but there's never been a work of grace that has taken place deep down in their soul that has altered and changed their life. I believe that when a person gets saved, he is a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things pass away. Behold, all things become new. I know I quote the same verses over and over again, but they're true. And we're living in a society, a Christianity, that doesn't declare those things. They think you can get saved and keep living like you used to live. No, you can't. God won't let you. You become a child of God. And He will usurp His position as a father does over a son. We become under the sure mercies of David, like we read the 89th Psalm, the 55th chapter of Isaiah, the 13th chapter of Acts. How we are told that we are under the sure mercies of David. That's why I believe that once saved, always saved. He will treat His child like a child. He will chasten them when they go out astray. He will inflict punishment upon them. He'll treat them like a child, like a father treats a child. And if He doesn't treat you like that, you're a bastard and not a son. Illegitimate child if God doesn't visit you when you sin. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Just what it says. I know about the chastening of the Lord. Do you know about the chastening of the Lord? We live in a time where people seem like they get away with everything. Listen, that's not happening. It's not going to happen. I do not believe that God's people can get away with the things that they claim they can get away with. I just don't believe it. It's contrary to the teaching of God's holy word. If you are one of the Lord's sheep, He will come as a shepherd and He will get you and He'll return you to the fold. Amen. Amen. You know what a shepherd does when he finds one of his lambs that's gone astray? Oh, we've seen the pictures. I know, y'all think about Israel, don't you? I don't know the difference between a lamb and a goat, but the Lord does. But He will go out there and He'll grab that lamb. And you've seen the pictures of Jesus carrying the lamb on His shoulders. You know why He carries it on His shoulders? Because when He caught that little lamb, He took that staff and He broke its front leg. Boom! Don't do that! And then He mended that leg up, and then He put that little lamb on the shoulders. The bad thing, or the wrong thing, that you see in the pictures is you don't see the bandage on the leg. All of us know that if we go up in that mountain where the lions are and the tigers are and the bears, when we go up in that place of great danger, when we stray and we start to sin, when we fall into snares or traps of the devil, the Lord Jesus, who is the grand shepherd of the sheep, comes after us. He'll get you up there and He'll smack you real good. And while you're wounded, He'll carry you back and put you back into the fold. And you know, when you're back among God's people, and you're one of those lambs that has the broken leg, you know what happens immediately following? Well, when He starts taking them over to green pasture, you're still standing there in pasture that's all eat up. And you have to wait for the shepherd to come and carry you over to green pasture. And then He'll take them over by still waters, and they'll drink by the waters. You're standing over here where it's dry because your leg's broken. He'll pick that lamb up. Man, I tell you what, when you come back to the Lord, He makes you so dependent upon Him, you never want to leave again. Amen. Never want to leave again. This is where I belong. Under the guidance and the leadership of the shepherd. And you won't go very far in that grass until you look up and you're looking for that staff. You know that staff with a big hook? It sticks up. And you know, those lambs and those sheep, they get out there and they're eating, but occasionally they'll look up and say, Where's the shepherd? They'll see the staff. Oh, we're okay. We're okay. Listen, sin will destroy you. There's only one who can save you, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you there longer than you want to stay. It'll cost you more than you'll ever want to pay. Listen, the only remedy For sin is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can save. He's the only one that can deliver. He's the only one that can help. He's the only one that can get you back where you need to be. And we're depending upon Him. Oh, you can go to counselors. They may give you some direction, but they cannot give you assistance. You can go to the pastor. He can give you advice, but he can't bring healing. Listen, there is a God that heals. There's still Balm in Gilead. He is the Jehovah Jireh. And if you need healing in your life, if you need the forgiveness of sin, God is real. He said, I am the Lord God Almighty. He says, look unto me and be ye saved, for I am God and there is none other. You got to go to God. Listen, there's stuff that's going on in your life that only God can help you with. Only God can bring deliverance to your life. And I contend, I know with all of my heart that if you will come before Him and you'll pour yourself out like water on the ground and you'll surrender yourself unto Him and you'll surrender to His Lordship and you'll surrender to His forgiveness and you'll surrender to His righteousness and you'll surrender to His doctrines and you'll surrender to His ways and you'll surrender to His Word and you'll devote yourself and your life unto Him, He will bring healing unto you, because then you become one of His children and He always helps His children. Always. He always. You know this stuff we read in Hebrews 13 where he says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. It's a real thing for us. It's just not words on a page. Man, when he comes into your life, he's there. He sticketh closer than a brother. Yeah, he's your kinsman redeemer. He becomes kin. He's one of your brothers and he's on the throne. He's at the right hand of the Father. He knows every infirmity. He knows every weakness. And we can go before him and we can cry out his name at any place, at any time, and say, oh Lord Jesus, help me. And he shows up. he shows up. We can be in our greatest weakness, but he's strong. We can be falling apart, but he stays together. And when the pieces of our life are all broken up, I know a God that can put the pieces back together. He is a God that is unshakable, unmovable. He is one who is always available and able to do those things that we cannot do. All things are possible with him with whom we have to do. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I wasn't planning on preaching. Oh, but I love the Lord today, don't you? It's not about me, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about his word getting into our hearts and into our lives. The Bible says that his word is quick. It's sharper and more powerful than any two-edged sword. Able to pierce to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. To get down into the joints and marrows. To be able to discern the things that are going on in your mind and in your heart. Listen, I can't do that, but God's Word can. Accompanied by the Holy Spirit, it will do things that nothing else can do. It will work things in your life that nothing else can work. Listen, I believe in the power of God's Holy Word. And the Bible says that you need to fall upon your face. You need to seek the Lord while He may be found. You need to call upon Him while He is near. That's Isaiah chapter 55. He said, well, let the wicked man forsake his ways. There's several instructions given to us here. Seeking the Lord, calling upon his name. Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and also in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, seek the Lord, call upon the Lord while he may be found. The Bible says this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You'll never be saved. You'll never experience deliverance. You'll never get the help you need till you call upon the Lord. As long as you sit there and you do nothing, you'll receive no help. Amen. You know, my work is harder than it's ever been. The society we live in is so full of pride today. You know, a lot of these churches, they wouldn't even let people come up and call upon the Lord. They have to shuffle them off somewhere else, you know. Don't want them to be embarrassed. Listen, I believe that we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. James chapter 4. Read the whole chapter. But he says, if we will humble ourselves, if we'll turn from our wicked ways, if our laughter will be turned to mourning, if you will weep and mourn over your sins, just as to the same degree that you did in having pleasure and enjoyment and folly, if you'll take it serious about coming to know the Lord, if you'll let your laughter be turned to mourning and your sorrow your sorrow to heaviness, if you'll call upon the Lord, turn from your sinful ways and seek Him out and humble yourself. The Bible says, whosoever shall humble themselves shall also be lifted up. The Bible says, let me get over and turn and read it. I got all twisted up. I'm thankful for the Word of God. Amen. If we humble ourselves before Him, He will lift us up. Do you believe that command? Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up. Do you believe in the power of God to lift somebody out of their sins? Do you believe that the power of God is able to lift us out of our wickedness and out of our unrighteousness? Do you believe in the power of God that helps us and enables us to be lifted out of sorrow or out of addiction or out of problems of our life? Do you think Jesus can help you out of your problem? Do you realize that while He was here, He was able to prove His deity in helping and healing everyone that came to Him? No one was turned away. He healed them of all of their diseases. He proved He had the power to heal and to help people that were in need. And people, if they would just humble themselves today. But it's hard today. People don't want to humble themselves. They don't want to come to the altar. I want to say this. I don't believe there's any virtue in this bench, but I still believe in a mourner's bench. And it's not that there's virtue in the bench, but I believe that people need to mourn over their sins. You take mourning out of repentance, and you have no repentance whatsoever, because godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. And if there's not godly sorrow, if there's not a sorrow over sin, if people aren't weeping and mourning over their sins, they'll never find the Lord. So I believe in mourning over your sins. And that's why I believe in the bench, though you can make any bench in this house a mourner's bench. You got to mourn over your sins, right? Yeah. Yeah. I'm thankful for the raising up that comes by the power of God. God will lift us up. We need more grace. He gives more grace. If we will just humble ourselves and surrender ourselves into Him. You know, I've dealt with a lot of people through my years of ministry. A lot of different people in a lot of different circumstances, a lot of different situations. And the answer has always been the same. You need God's deliverance. And you got to pray to get God's deliverance. Okay? You got to pray for yourself. I'll be glad to pray with you and pray for you, but the prayer has to be prayed by you. I will humble myself beside of you, but you've got to humble your own heart. I will call on the Lord on your behalf, but that won't save you. That won't deliver you. That won't help you. What really will help you is you calling on the Lord for yourself. For the person that calls upon the Lord will be saved. And so you have to call for yourself. If there's any repenting that's done, you've got to repent yourself. Children, listen to me. If there's any believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to believe for yourself. Can't do it for you. And you know, there's been people that I've come in contact with through the years. And I look them in the eye and I'm like, man, if you would just go to the Lord. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Man, I'm praying that you'll just take this to God. God will deliver you from it. And I've known some through the years that they finally got it, the Lord opened their hearts or something happened. Man, they got it. And they went to the Lord and it all changed. I mean, they got saved. Y'all know what I'm talking about, being saved? And something happened to them. I'll never forget when I was in Florida. Most of you guys know I spent 2 years. God, I don't know why God asked me to do this, but He did. And I did it. And I took my family to a very dark area of Tampa, Florida. And ministered in a garage on Skid Row. Preaching mostly to alcoholics and drug addicts. I remember one Sunday I found Charlie out beside of the dump, drunk from the night before. An old sailor, his name was Charlie. And I picked him up and I dragged him in and sat him down on a folded chair and I preached the gospel to him. I'll never forget, there was a young man that was coming to another young girl of the church or of the mission. And it was obvious he had a serious drug habit. It was obvious, you know, he had rings in his ears and he was on the wrong road, the road that leads to destruction, the very wide gate that leads to a devil's hell. I'll never forget when the Lord got a hold of him, man, it just got all over him. It was the biggest thing he ever got a hold of. And I'll tell you, if the Lord ever gets a hold of you, it'd be the biggest thing in your life. We were having a little weekend revival meeting, if you want to call it that. And I'll never forget. Man, it was like this guy who came in with this attitude of attitudes. You know, this manly guy that comes in and he was cocky and he was just, he had this serious attitude about him. I saw his countenance melt by the power of the word. See, I believe in the power of the gospel. Young man melted under the gospel. And I remember him coming to the altar that night. And he wasn't at the altar very long. He was on one knee. But he wasn't there but just a few minutes. We all gathered around, and Angie and I did, and Aaron acted like he was a pray warrior too. And he'd get in the altar and act like he was praying. And we was all gathered around, we was praying for him. And it wasn't but a few minutes. Man, he jumped straight up, flat-footed, said, "I've got it! Aren't you glad you can get it?" He said, "I've got it! Listen, you need that! But you're going to have to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ! I believe the saving work of God is available to you today. You need to surrender." Aaron, I don't know. Get a song. I'm done. I'm done. You say, "Man, you go to that church over there and he don't have time to open his Bible." I quoted a lot of scripture to you. And you know what? I guess what that did for 2 years preaching to 4 or 5 people, what it did to me, when I see this group of people this large and I look out over this audience, I know there's folks here that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, people that have deceived themselves or been deceived, or people that are just out there walking on the edge. And I know that there's people here today, that need the Lord. I don't know if I can allow my head to press the pillow tonight, knowing that I let this opportunity escape me, and not tell you that you need to seek the Lord while He may be found. I don't know if I can lay my head on a pillow tonight and not tell you today is the day of salvation. Be saved today. Don't go another day lost and in your sins. Stand your feet. Would you come to the Lord Jesus? I don't care what your circumstances are, what your situation is, there is a God that saves, and He is mighty to save. He can deliver you. He can deliver you from your problems. He can deliver you from your sins. He's available to us all. Praise God. He's available to us all. When we need Him, He is there. When we call upon His name, He hears and He answers. And so call upon Him today. Do you realize He's just a call away? Just a call away. And He will respond. I thought about those blind men, the blind man Bartimaeus, as the Lord Jesus was coming out of Jericho, old Jericho. It was the very last time he ever went through that city. Last opportunity. And blind Bartimaeus was on the side of the road. And he said, "Thou, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy unto me." You know, the Lord Jesus heard that blind man's cry. He went and got him and he saved him. Not only saved him, but healed him of his blindness. But the point is this. This may be your last time that Jesus passes by. And you need to cry out like blind Bartimaeus, who had enough sense to know this might be my last opportunity to be saved and be healed. And he cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to cry out to him today. Let's sing. How is it with your soul today? Are you saved? Are you ready? Are some of you not ready? Children, listen to me. Be ready. The day's coming when you'll face the Lord Jesus Christ. Him today. Listen, you need him. You're going to need him later in life. The evil day is coming, and you need to be ready for that day. One of these days, you're going to need the help of God. You'll need him there with you and for you. Give you strength that you might be one of the Lord's strong people. Would you come to the Lord Jesus Christ today? Time is short. Eternity is sure. Come now. Believe now. Repent now. Come today as we continue to sing. Sing another verse. Listen, there's danger outside those doors. The only assurance you can have is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need him. You need him now in your life. Come to him. I believe the offer still stands. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The stipulation there is that you must come yourself to the Lord. "Take my yoke," he says. "Oh, my burdens are easy and my yoke is light." Listen, it's a whole lot better to live with the Lord than to live without the Lord. Whole lot easier. Whole lot easier. Yeah. Burdens are light. The yoke is easy. He's with us. I love you. I want you to know I love you. If I can do anything to help you, I will. I pray for you. I look in your eyes and I know that we're fighting against principalities and powers and rulers in the dark places. I hope the church gets smart, realizes that the devil's after our children. The demonic forces are out to try to stop us and hinder us. I hope you sense that and feel that. The gates of hell, he won't prevail against the gates of hell, but he's working hard to overthrow our efforts. And we can't let the devil get the upper hand. We got to fight the good fight. Be good soldiers for the Lord. Fight against the demonic forces that are trying to keep us from advancing the cause of Christ and seeing souls saved.
I want us to sing another song. We're going to close this service. I don't think we've had prayer yet, have we? Sorry. I think maybe we ought to have an altar prayer. And I know some of you have loved ones and friends that are lost. It's scary out there. And I want to put this in your mind and your heart. If something doesn't happen to alter and change the course of things, the way it's going right now, most of these folks, maybe even a whole generation, will drop off into hell. We need God and we need Him badly. Intervene. I don't know. Some of these folks, some of these children, you know, I don't know. Some don't happen to in their lives to get their attention. They may never come to the Lord. I don't know. The Bible says, and we've been studying this from Isaiah. It's in Isaiah 26. When God's judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. Powerful verse. Listen, I want you to be ready for the coming of the Lord. I want you to be ready for any kind of judgments that come upon America. Next Sunday is a recognition of, you know, a right to life. It's an anniversary of Roe versus Wade. 55 million babies have been slaughtered in America. We finally caught up with the amount of Christians that were martyred during the Dark Ages. Here's something we've learned over the last year. I have taught every week of last year about God's indictments and judgments against transgressions of nations. And here's one indisputable fact that we have learned in conclusion to all that. This kind of sin, this kind of horrific sin, this kind of crime that America has committed will be met with the judgment and wrath of God. Amen. One of my concerns about my grandchildren, I know it's coming. It's coming. And they're going to need God when it comes. And we're right there kind of stuck in chapter 25 where Isaiah says, thank God I know you. When judgment comes on my nation, thank God I know you. That you're my God. I'm in covenant with you. You're going to give me righteousness and strength to go through it. Only hope they have and you have is knowing God when it comes. Being in covenant with Him. Being saved by His grace. That's the bottom line. It's coming. And I want to encourage you, parents, raise your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Because when judgment comes, when the indictment comes upon this nation for its transgressions against a holy God who holds this nation accountable, yes, we're going to experience the impact of that. Because we are citizens of this country. Man, you need to be lived as close to God as you possibly can when it comes. And that's part of my job, responsibility, and I'm trying to get you there. Be ready. God's people always have been okay through it all. They threw us in the fire and we did not burn. They threw us in the water and we did not drown. Yeah, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. We have to stand on the side of God and His righteousness. He's right. This is a wrong that's been committed in our country, and it deserves the judgment of God. Let's get on the altar and let's sing as we gather. I hope you know the Lord Jesus Christ.